begin today by asking you a question. I need your help. Name some of your favorite preachers. Who are some of your favorite preachers in the Seventh-day Adventist Church today? I know you just didn't say Pastor Patel. That are still alive. That are still alive. Amen, amen. Randy Skeet, amen. I like Randy Skeet. Amen, amen. Uh-oh. Now let me ask you another question. Well, God has blessed us with some great preachers and teachers, amen? He has blessed this church. What if every one of those preachers that you mentioned and didn't mention, what if every one of them apostatized from the Seventh-day Adventist Church and left the church and used their knowledge of the Bible and the spirit of prophecy and began to systematically attack the doctrines of the church? Books, YouTube videos. The question is, would your anchor hold? The reason for that question is to determine what is your foundation. Ellen White has a term, in the book Great Controversy. She calls it silken cords of affection. They can be tied not just with teachers. They can be tied with your spouse, your parents, your children. If my spouse were to leave the faith, if my parents were to leave the faith, if all those around me were to leave the faith, the question is, would I leave the faith? May I suggest something to you? The Bible says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." May I suggest this too, that none of us, including myself, will ever truly know if we can stand unless we are tested. So the question this morning is your house individually built on the solid rock? That's the question. It's interesting, friends, because we live in interesting times, but we can also see that there's nothing new under the sun. In fact, when the children of Israel were on the borders of the promised land about to enter into Canaan, how many of you believe that we are on the borders of the promised land? They were about to get into Canaan, and Moses sent out the 12 spies. And the Bible tells us that these were not regular guys. They were men of renown. Princes, leaders, you have to be pretty hardcore to go in enemy territory for 40 days and 40 nights. The people looked up to these men. They named them. You could say there were 12 pastors. And the 12 pastors came back. 10 pastors preached a certain sermon. 2 pastors preached a different sermon. And we all know the story. Everybody listened to the 10 pastors, and probably over 1 million or maybe more, 2 million, who knows, people perished in the wilderness. The influence of teachers and preachers is very great. 40 years later, guess what? They come right again back to the borders of the promised land. And you know who was there that got the people to come and participate in the apostasy of Baal Peor with the Midianitish and the Moabite women? Pastor Balaam. Ellen White says because Pastor Balaam was there, a lot of the people started to go onto that ground because of his influence. Prophet of God. I was in one of our institutions in California. I went to college there. Getting my undergrad in theology. And there was a preacher, very dynamic, very engaging. Oh boy, when you talk about a gifted communicator, he has a gift. And he stood there and he preached at chapel. Must have been maybe 1,000 of the young people there at the school. And the name of his sermon was called Adam and Steve. And he had a pink shirt on, so you could get to know what he was going with this. He preached that sermon. He went to Matthew 18, started to talk about the eunuch, started to talk about all kinds of things from the Bible, from personal experiences, from David and Jonathan. There were people from that community that were there in the church. I was there. Made an appeal. There were tears. There were emotion. There was hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Maybe hundreds of people came down for that appeal. Holding arms and praying and crying. The next day I'm on campus, a couple of my theology major buddies, one of my buddies came to me and said, yo, T, man, whoa, wow, the Holy Ghost was there last night. Such a spirit of revival took over the campus. And I looked at him and I said, brother, how do you know that the Holy Spirit was there? And he looked at me like I was dumb. And he said, brother, weren't you there? Didn't you see all the people and the appeal? Didn't you hear the powerful word? Didn't you see didn't you sense the Holy Spirit? And I said, brother, how do you know that the Holy Spirit was truly there? Me and my friend Albert, we opened the Bible, we went to the word and gave a Bible study and started to show him from the Bible how the sermon that was preached was highly problematic. After the Bible study, he said something to me I'll never forget. He looked at me with almost a fearful look, and he said, man, Tarek, I never knew that the devil was that good. The next day, he comes back to us, and he says, nah, guys, I listened to the sermon again. You guys are wrong. That sermon was fire. It was on point. Truly, the Holy Ghost was there. So me and my friend Albert, once again, we do the Bible study again with additional scriptures. And then he says to us, man, I can't believe it. He's looking at the word. And then he says, I just got to stop listening to that sermon. I got to disconnect. It's interesting because when Ellen White talks about Kellogg, she says that there's the sophistries of that teaching. You're impregnated. And the language she uses, she says, like, when you first start to hear it, you got to pull away, but you got to be very careful. Seductive theories. Ellen White also says it was the influence of such teachers that led the Jewish nation to reject their Redeemer. An entire nation rejected Christ because of the influence of the teachers. What does that say about the responsibility of the teachers? And what does that say about the responsibility of the laity, of the people? We cannot be dependent on human beings. The Bible says this, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. The Bible says this, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. How do you know that if I'm telling you the truth, if you don't know the law and the testimony for yourselves? You know what Ellen White says? I just found this quote in the back, but I'm going to read this one first. Only those who have been diligent students of the scriptures. What kind of students, church? Diligent. What does that mean? Diligent students of the scriptures. And who have received the love of the truth. It's not enough to just know the word. You got to let the word be in your life. In order to be built on a solid rock foundation, Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, in spite of what you have to face, apply it to your life, experience Christ so that you can become the living word. Partake of his divine nature. Know the word. Diligent student of the scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive. If we're on the borders, that means the powerful delusion is also on the borders. That means Ellen White has a chapter in GC, Great Controversy, Scriptures is our safeguard. Here's another statement from GC 593. None, how many church? None but those who have fortified the mind. What does it mean to fortify your mind? Fortify your mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. We got to be built up with Bible truth individually. So, my friends, Ellen White also goes on to say this, many will stand in our pulpits with the torch of false prophecy in their hands, kindled from the hellish torch of Satan. She didn't say the Baptist pulpit. She didn't say the Methodist pulpit. She didn't say the Presbyterian pulpit. She said the Seventh-day Adventist pulpits. We have far more to fear from within than from without. And the dragon was wroth. I like the word in the King James, wroth with the woman. And he went to make what? Peace. He went to make friends. He went to make war with who? The remnant of her seed. And who are they? Which keep the commandments of God and have the what? There's a war in Ukraine. There's a war in Gaza. But the front line of the war is with God's church. Is your house built on the rock? There's a story in the Bible that I think illustrates this right on the borders of Canaan, right in an end time scenario that illustrates what we're talking about today. And I hope you got your Bibles today because we're going to be using our Bibles this morning. Jeremiah chapter 28. Please turn there with me to Jeremiah chapter 28. And when you get there, please let me know by saying amen. Amen. Jeremiah, the 28th chapter. I encourage everyone to please, please grab a Bible. If it's in front of you, we're going to use our Bibles today. Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 1. Now, let me give you the context of what's happening here. The last king of Judah is on the throne. His name is Zedekiah. Nebuchadnezzar is the big man on campus. He has all the real estate in his empire. Egypt is still a contender. The surrounding nations around Israel, they're trying to form a super league to contend with Babylon. The kingdom of Israel has long gone. The Assyrian Empire wiped them out. Now Judah remains. Zedekiah is on the throne. Before Zedekiah, there were two sons of Josiah on the throne. Jehoiakim was on the throne. He was a puppet king to King Nebuchadnezzar, a vassal king. He did not get in line with Nebuchadnezzar. He's trying to stray, get in league with Egypt and all of that. Nebuchadnezzar snatches him off the throne, strike one. Places his son on the throne, Jeconiah. But Jeconiah also starts to follow the footsteps of his father and the counselors. And so Nebuchadnezzar takes him off the throne. Strike two. And then he places the youngest son of Josiah on the throne, a man named Mattaniah, and he changes his name to Zedekiah. Now Zedekiah is up to bat. And it's at this time, as Zedekiah has the ambassadors of the surrounding nations, he's once again following in the steps of his predecessors. Super League against Babylon. But the word of the Lord comes to the prophet Jeremiah. And he says, Jeremiah, go tell these people my word. Now, Jeremiah, God tells him to wear a yoke, like what the oxen wear. Wear a wooden yoke. And I want you to go to Zedekiah and even all these ambassadors and let them know, thus saith the Lord, submit to the yoke of Babylon. He's my servant, Nebuchadnezzar. Submit to him and it's going to be well with you. You're going to get to take care of your kids. You're going to have peace. You'll be able to plant and grow your crops. So Jeremiah has to walk around town with a yoke. Now, can you imagine me having that on and I came in the church today? You probably think, oh, there's something funny going on. What's Pastor doing? But then tomorrow you see me at Apple Valley and I still got the yoke on. And then the next day I got the yoke on. And then the next day I got the yoke on. What are you going to start thinking? Is he okay? You see, this is the way that God had his prophet send a message. They didn't have social media or Wi-Fi, but God wanted the message to go viral. And so when the visitors came to Jerusalem, they said, what's going on with this guy? Oh, that guy? He's saying that God is telling him that we need to submit to Babylon. So Jeremiah was a walking billboard. Not only was Jeremiah preaching the word, but the prophet Jeremiah was a walking example of God's word. How many of us are willing to be fools for Christ's sake? How many of us are willing to look like the fool so that we can represent Christ and preach his word? You know why? For the sake of his people. Amen. Jeremiah has the yoke. Chapter 28, verse 1. Let's dive. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month. Very important. That Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me. This is Jeremiah writing. Where did he speak to Jeremiah, church? Notice this. In the house of the Lord. Now, who is there in the house of the Lord? In the presence of the priest and of all the people. Prophet Jeremiah is in God's house with the yoke on. Prophet Hananiah of Gibeon shows up to speak directly to Jeremiah, but he knows that all the priests and the people are watching. He has an audience. This is what he says in verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place. Can I hear somebody say this place? All the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. What a message. He shows up in God's house. The only person wearing a yoke that Sabbath was Jeremiah, if it was the Sabbath. And he says, thus saith the Lord, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. I'm sure in Jeremiah's mind, he was thinking, wow, the Lord didn't tell me that. He comes in God's house, in the temple, in front of all the people, and says, thus saith Yahweh, the sacred name of God. Now, keep in mind, this is the temple. That means in the most holy place is the Ark of the Covenant. There's the Shekinah, God sitting on the throne right there. And you want to call on the name of God in his house? That got the attention of the people. Thus saith the Lord, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. And in 2 full years, the vessels are coming back to this place. In 2 years, the captives are coming back to this place. In 2 years, the king, Jeconiah, he's coming back to this place. What a message of hope. What a message of salvation. What a message of the grace of God. Can you imagine that I was sitting in that church that day and my son Ishmael was taken away captive to Babylon? Maybe some of your children have been taken away. Maybe it was your spouse that was taken away. And we come in here and we see the screen has been stripped. Our pews have been taken. The piano is gone because they came in here and stripped it down. And then Jeremiah wants to come in here. Pastor Jeremiah wants to come in here with a yoke telling the people, submit to the yoke of Babylon. That's not a nice message, Jeremiah. But thank God for Pastor Hananiah, who comes in on that Sabbath and lets Jeremiah know the truth. Thus saith the Lord, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. In 2 full years, Tarek church family, your kids and your wives and your spouses are coming home. The piano's coming back. The screen's coming back. What a message of grace. Now, is God gracious? Is he loving? He is. Did God want to restore his people? Yes, he did. But the problem is that Hananiah was preaching a grace-filled message. There was no repentance. There was no prophetic voice. There was no thus saith the Lord. Now, the message was stirring. I'm sure if he made an appeal, he probably would have had hundreds of people come down to that aisle. I'm sure he was very dynamic and engaging, using the name of God. The sermon was so powerful. Look what the prophet Jeremiah said in verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, what did he say, church? Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. What a good word, Hananiah. Amen. I want God's people to be back on top too. Now, if Hananiah had a sermon title, his sermon title would have been called This Place. But listen to the prophet Jeremiah. Verse 7, he says, nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in your ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries, against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. That's a great message, Pastor Hananiah. It's a grace-filled, loving message. However, the prophets that have prophesied both before you and I, they said something different. They talked about war. They talked about evil coming upon us. They talked about pestilence. And I didn't hear none of those things in your message. In fact, when you go to Habakkuk, Habakkuk was a prophet that came before Jeremiah and Hananiah. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 6 talks about, I will raise up that bitter and hasty nation, the Chaldeans. They're going to be fiercer than the evening wolves, swifter than the leopards. They're not coming to play games. Keep your finger in Jeremiah 28 and turn with me, please, to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. When you get there, please let me know by saying amen. 2 Kings chapter 20. We're coming back to Jeremiah 28. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 16. Amen. Are we there, church? Amen. We're going to get into our word now. Verse 16. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah. Now, this is some time way before Jeremiah and Hananiah's time. The prophet Isaiah. Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. And how much shall be left, church? Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of your sons that will issue from you, which you shall beget, they shall take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Now turn the page to 2 Kings 21 and verse 10. Verse 10, 21:10. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, plural, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. It's interesting because when Hananiah came to church, you know what he said? Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. But let's see what the prophet said. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. Behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. 2 Kings 24 and verse 3. Let's flip the page. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight, to do what? Remove them. For the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Let's go there. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Please let me know you're still alive when you get there by saying amen. 2 Chronicles 34. Now, this is during the time of Josiah, Zedekiah's dad. This is when they find the book of the law in the temple. Notice what happens, though, in verse 22. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah. Now, who was Huldah? Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem, and they spoke to her to that effect. Notice what she says in verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah. Go back to Jeremiah 28 now. Jeremiah 28. Amen, Hananiah. That was a great sermon. May the Lord do so. May the Lord perform your words, which you have prophesied. But nevertheless, hear thou now this word. Friends, regardless of what or who preaches, that ought to be our word. Nevertheless. What does the word say? Notice what Jeremiah did. He was not only referring to Huldah, Isaiah, Habakkuk, but also Hosea and Zephaniah. He referred to all the prophets and what they said. You're preaching about peace, but what I read the prophets say, they said that Jerusalem is going to get wiped like a dish. I don't know how you wash your dishes, but when God washes his, he's going to make it clean. He went to the testimony of the prophets. The testimony. The testimony is the spirit of prophecy. Notice what he does in the next verse. Verse 9. The prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Now, what he did right there was really amazing, I believe. Keep your finger here, and let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 22. Let me hear you. Let me know when you get there. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 22. Watch this. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Go back to Jeremiah 28. You know what Jeremiah did? He first said, that's a good message, brother. I mean, it was soul-stirring. You had a great appeal and all that. But guess what? The prophet said something different. And not only that, he quotes practically Deuteronomy 18 to 20, verse 22, that says, if your words doesn't come to pass, and that's the test of the prophet. What does Deuteronomy mean? Anybody know? What does the word Deuteronomy mean? Second or law. Second reading of the law. So do you see what Jeremiah did? Hananiah preached a sermon. He said it was good. But the prophets, the testimony, said something different. Then he went to the book of the law to check him on that too. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20, you know what it says? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to, watch this now, this word, there's no light in them. Now Hananiah, his message was entitled This Place. But Jeremiah, his sermon title was This Word. Babylon is coming. You have a pastor-prophet duel in the church. You got one pulpit and a huge congregation. Who's listening to Pastor Jeremiah? Who's listening to Pastor Hananiah? Or better yet, who's listening to the word of the Lord? Verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. Wow. Hananiah took it up a notch. Think about it. Can you imagine I'm preaching a sermon and I got my yoke on? Another one of the pastors come up here and just throw me down to the ground and break. And I doubt that Jeremiah said, here, you could just break the yoke. The brother got aggressive in church. Maybe he hit Jeremiah with something and he fell on the ground. Maybe he threw him to the ground and he broke it in pieces. And I can imagine Pastor Hananiah standing triumphantly with the broken yoke. Thus saith the Lord. Within 2 full years, they're coming back. The vessels is coming back. And everybody said amen. Here's the question. Why didn't he break the yoke when he first came in the church? I mean, Jeremiah had it on. Why didn't he just hit him there? But when Jeremiah spoke, then all of a sudden, he takes it up to that next level. Keep your finger in Jeremiah 28 and come with me to Jeremiah chapter 25. Turn with me to Jeremiah 25. And verse 3. Jeremiah 25 and verse 3. From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord has come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. In fact, Jeremiah's ministry total was close to 40 years. And as he preached, nobody listened to him. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 5. We're coming back to 28. Jeremiah 5, though. Jeremiah 5 and verse 1. Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Run ye to and fro. God is speaking. Through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it. Jeremiah's been preaching for decades. Nobody listens to him. On top of that, God is saying, is there anybody here that supports you? I can't even find anybody. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 15 now. 15. 15. Verse 10. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them curses me. Look at verse 17. I sat not in the assembly of mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Nobody's listening to him. He has no supporters, and he sits alone in the assembly. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am a derision daily. Everyone mocks me. I had to look up the word derision. It means he gets ridiculed every day. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Watch this. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. What would happen if you come to church, my family, and people started to mock and make fun of you? Would you want to come back to this church? What if that happened to you every single day? Here is a man that nobody listens to. He has no support. He sits in the assembly alone, and he gets ridiculed daily. Why did Hananiah want to break the yoke off a man that nobody even listens to? He's the weirdo that gets mocked. Look at him with his yoke on his neck. Why does he waste his time with that man? I'm going to give you two reasons why. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 18. God says to him when he called Jeremiah, for behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why, Jeremiah? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Why did Hananiah break that yoke? Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 28. The Lord speaking, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word. How, church? What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Come back to Jeremiah 28. Hananiah got aggressive and threw Pastor Jeremiah down and broke that yoke for one simple reason. Not only is it because the Lord was with Jeremiah, but because when Jeremiah spoke in those verses about the law and the testimony, and when Jeremiah had the yoke walking around, Jeremiah had the hammer of God's word. You see, Hananiah was preaching fluff, but Jeremiah had the hammer. Hananiah was preaching about this place, but Jeremiah was preaching about this word. And the reason why he broke that yoke was an outward demonstration of an inner conviction. Because it was one man against the entire nation. But that man had the Lord. And that man had the word of the Lord. You see, friends, we are in the last days. And what we need now more than ever is not Tarek's words. It's the word of the Lord. You see, a lot of people listened to Pastor Hananiah. And he had the whole city. But nobody listened to Pastor Jeremiah. He had a few supporters. But the Bible says this, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end thereof? And that's what matters. You see, just because a church is crowded, it doesn't mean that the church is built on the rock. You can have a church with two members and they could be built on the rock. You will never know what the foundation is until the foundation is tested. Then you know if it's built on the rock. Why did Hananiah preach his message? He wanted to encourage the people. He had good intentions. But he was not delivering the word faithfully. It's not my ideas, my opinions that will build the people, heal the people, give life to the people. It's only God's word that can do that. Amen. So the better that I'm able to get my ideas and opinions, I may have things that connect with the word that are important. You can draw parallels from the word. They may be important, but it's not as important as a thus saith the Lord. God had Jeremiah stand at the gate of the house, and as the people were walking in, he says, this is the word that I'm giving you, Jeremiah. And he just preached exactly what God told him. He didn't have to get fancy, come up with a script. God gave him the words. And he said God's word. And God's word did the rest. The closer we could come to God's word from the sacred desk, the better for God's people and even the messenger himself. It's hard to be a Jeremiah because that means you're going to be in derision daily. You're going to be mocked. You're going to sit in the assembly all alone. But what will you do in the end thereof? Let's wrap this up. Jeremiah 28. Verse 11. Nebuchadnezzar, I'll break the yoke of the king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon from the neck of all nations. Within the space of 2 full years. Now, this is probably one of the most powerful parts of this story to me, is these last sentence of verse 11. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Wow. Now, if I'm honest with you, if somebody's going back and forth with me and then it gets physical and they throw me down on the floor and break the yoke, my heart is going to be beaten. I'm going to naturally get defensive and want to come back. But the fact that the prophet Jeremiah, I can imagine him just picking up the pieces of that broken yoke and then he just goes his way. You got to pray for the pastor. You know what that tells me? Not only did he preach the word, but Jeremiah the prophet was an example of the word. Not only was he a diligent student of the scriptures, he also had a love of the truth. And it demonstrated who was controlling him. It was the Spirit of Christ in Jeremiah. It also tells me this, church family, that there's a time to swing the hammer of God's word, and there's a time to pick up the pieces and walk away. And let the Lord take over. Because let me tell you this. He was preaching that. Jeremiah could have got into him with the prophets. He could have took him through all those scriptures like I took you to and a lot more. He could have did all that. But you know what I think was the loudest sermon? Was the fact that he got beat up, disrespected, embarrassed in front of the whole congregation. And he picked up the pieces and he walked his way. And then the people said, hold on, this brother is really unusual. Somebody got a hold of his heart. I believe that was the loudest sermon that Jeremiah preached, was right there. He went his way. Look at the next verse. I was going to read that, but praise the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet. After that, Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, said, now the Lord's stepping in. I got you, son. Watch this. Go tell Hananiah, saying, I saw all of that happened. God is watching your faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Thus saith the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you will make for them yokes of iron. You got to deliver the word, all of it. The Bible says reprove, rebuke, exhort. You know what's so interesting too? Here's the man that's preaching all this grace-based filled message, but he's throwing a brother down in church. Isn't that something? But here's a guy preaching the word of God, controlled and governed by the Spirit of God. We are to declare all the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort, but the Bible also says, with all long suffering and doctrine. That means when we preach, we are to let the word do the cutting. Tarek doesn't have to do the cutting. You got to pray for the pastor. The word cuts itself. The word corrects itself. The word rebukes itself. I must have the long suffering. You know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2? And I'll just read it to you for sake of time. Verse 24 says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. In what church? Why? Listen to this. Instructing those that oppose themselves, even the Hananias. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And the truth is not just told, it's manifested. So when I'm gentle and I have meekness, I'm giving my brother an opportunity to hear and receive the word. Let's finish this up in chapter 28 of Jeremiah. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beast of the field also. This is his word. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but you make this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast you from off the face of the earth. This year you will die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now, if a tough UFC fighter came up to me and said, Tarek, I'm going to break you, I will be very intimidated by that. But if the creator of the heavens and the earth tells me that I'm going to cast your body off the face of the earth, that's serious. That goes to show you how God views a watchman, a pastor that doesn't preach the word faithfully. Because you know why? God knows that Babylon is coming. God knows that the storm is coming. God knows that we need to be on a firm foundation to save us from that storm. And the only thing that can build us up strong is this word. You know what he told Jeremiah in this book? He said, they have built the people, the false prophets, with untempered mortar, which means you got a flimsy wall. This wall is going to fall down. You have healed the wounds of my people slightly. You're preaching a little bit of the word, but you're not giving the full dosage. They need the full dosage to be healed, to be built, to be strong, to have life. Let me read this statement to you. I came across this one preacher. He said this, you know that there are preachers who specialize, you know, God's word is a seed. And it's the seed that has power to germinate and give life. There are preachers who specialize in plowing, irrigation, and fertilization. But they fail to put the seed in. It's not enough to tickle the soil. You've got to sow the seed. And any church that is not a Bible preaching church will not grow. It's not going to reproduce because life comes from the seed. Now, I don't know why God waited 2 months for the prophet Hananiah to die. This happened in the fifth month, but he died in the seventh month. I don't know, I'm just thinking, maybe the Day of Atonement is in the seventh month. Isn't it in the seventh month, church? Maybe God wanted to take it down to the time of judgment for this guy. Friends, after this, everybody listened to the gospel of Hananiah, including King Zedekiah. And they believed in Egypt and all these things, and then 2 full years, it's going to be good. They believed that message. But then the end came. And now Zedekiah was panicking because the Babylonians surrounded them and there was a siege going on. Jeremiah was in prison. Then he brings out the prophet of God out of prison and he says to him, "Any word from the Lord?" Then he says, "Oh, now you want to hear the word from the Lord." He says, "What happened to all your priests and prophets?" Then he says this, "Nevertheless, even though Babylon is here and you haven't heard the word this whole time, God is still going to have mercy on you. If you hear the word of the Lord even now, and you go out there and surrender to the king of Babylon," you know what Jeremiah told him? "It's going to be well with you. The city's not going to burn. Your kids are going to be okay. You're going to be able to plant and grow. It's going to be all right." God's mercy extended to the final hour. My word is still available. You can take heed to the word. But you know what Zedekiah said? "If I do that, then all the people are going to mock me. They're going to make fun of me. When I go out there, the Babylonian rulers are going to see me. My Jewish leaders, they're going to see me. They're going to make fun of me." But now the stakes were really high. If he would have heeded God's word when the stakes were not so high, when the horsemen were there, and when he should have did it when the footmen were there, it would have been a lot easier for Zedekiah. But the end came. And it was good for the prophet Jeremiah. But it was bad for the king Zedekiah and for the people. Friends, I'm saying this because we're on the borders of Canaan. Babylon is coming. Sunday laws are coming. Guess what? One day there's going to be a pastor that stands here behind this pulpit and he's going to say, "Sunday laws are here." The question is, will you and I be ready? Will our house be built upon the rock when that day comes? We got to be faithful. The delivering of the word, we have to be faithful because it builds up the people. Here's my last verse, and I'm going to close with this verse, Jeremiah chapter 6. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. When you get there, let me know by saying amen. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Are we there? Look what it says in verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." God says, if you find the old paths and walk in the good ways, you're going to find rest unto your souls. But the people said, we're not going to listen. You know, the ministry of Jeremiah and Jesus is pretty much the same. Jeremiah preached, but then Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. Christ preached, Jerusalem fell to the Romans. When Jeremiah preached, it's in the book of Jeremiah, where you find the words, "You have made my house into a den of robbers," or "a den of thieves." Christ preached, "You have made my house into a den of thieves." And Christ said the same words as Jeremiah. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Listen to this. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The yoke of Christ is the yoke of wood. It's the easy way. It's the way of rest. Yeah, you'll be a derision. Yeah, you'll stand alone. Yeah, you will have no support. But can I tell you something? I was out in the world without Christ, And it's going to be a dangerous thing to be in the world facing Babylon without Christ versus to be with Christ facing Babylon. Christ is the easy way. Would you take his offer? Would you come to him? Would you build your house on the rock, which is Jesus?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.